Minnesota has by no means fallen into technological obscurity. Medtronic remains a towering and expanding presence in medical technology. 3M churns out hundreds of patents a year. IBM has a major facility in Rochester. But the state which played a lead role in the birth of the digital age now has more of a bit part. University of Minnesota President Mark Udoff puts it this way.
I think it's pretty clear that if you had been guessing in 1955 where the Silicon Revolution would have taken place, it would have been in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. It's pretty clear that's not where it took place.
Why did some of the seeds of the computer industry fall in Minnesota? Ask Bill Norris, founder of Control Data.
Well, it's kind of a matter of last resort.
After World War II, Norris and a group of Navy colleagues were having trouble finding a partner to help them continue developing calculating machines they used for code breaking during the war. But the Navy wanted the project to succeed.
It just happened there was a guy by the name of John Parker who had a glider factory in St. Paul. And you know there's not much demand for in the peacetime for gliders. And he was looking desperately somehow to keep his business going. And the Secretary of the Navy knew John Parker. John used to be in the Navy. And the Secretary of the Navy suggested that, well, maybe this was an answer.
Minnesota's computer industry got its start here in Parker's two-block-long factory on St. Paul's Minnehaha Avenue. In 1947, Bill Drake joined the new company, Engineering Research Associates. Sitting in the cavernous space decades later, Drake recalls the factory's other occupants.
There were pigeons and birds flying around in there frequently, and there's more than one expletive deleted that resulted from an assault from above.
Drake and former colleague Edward Zimmer recall ERA's early days as exhilarating, with the satisfaction of pushing the frontiers of science.
There was a lot of freedom, a lot of ability, really bright people, and all playing on the same team.
Yeah, I mean, I worked till midnight and come home, and then back in again 6 in the morning.
There must have been a lot of this same kind of thing in Microsoft in the early days. Just a zooming.
Engineering Research Associates did not become the first Microsoft. In 1951, the company was sold to Connecticut-based Remington Rand, later Sperry Rand, which continued to build computers in Minnesota. But ERA assembled the central building blocks of Minnesota's industry. One of them was Seymour Cray, a University of Minnesota-trained electrical engineer. Cray's ability to design the world's fastest computers established Minnesota as a leading force in computing and made him a legend. John Rolwagon is the former CEO of Cray Research, the company Cray started in 1972.
Well, Seymour was fundamental to what happened because he was a true genius. And in our field, computing field, he's like a Thomas Edison or an Edwin Land in photography. I mean, he's just a monumental figure.
In the late 50s, Cray followed Bill Norris and other ERA employees to the new Control Data. Cray used reject transistors to build key parts of the company's blockbuster first product, the 1604. By 1965, Control Data was the third largest computer maker in the country with more than 9,000 employees. But if Cray's genius played a key role, so did the taxpayer. Gary Smaby is a longtime analyst of Minnesota's computer industry.
Clearly the origins and I think the sustenance for the industry came from the U.S. government.
Control Data and Cray Research took off by selling big iron, super fast mainframe computers for engineering and science. Smaby says the Cold War was the key factor in the rise of Minnesota's computer industry.
It did in fact provide the basis, the foundation for the industry that prospered for a couple of decades. But I think, you know, like any industry, once you get dependent upon a certain model, it's difficult to change and adapt to a new model.
Former Cray Research CEO John Rolwagon disputes that view. He says early on, the company saw only 86 customers for Cray's so-called supercomputers, mostly government labs. But the private sector discovered the machine's value for designing cars, airliners, even plastic Coke bottles.
Those are pretty fancy devices because they have to hold that pressure, and a lot of the design work was done on Cray. So we got into the commercial sector, and instead of having 86 customers, we had 860 customers, and we sold 100 machines a year, and we bulked up to do that.
Rolwagon contends much of the original government market remains, but by the early 90s, the accelerating power of the microprocessor gave commercial customers comparable computing power on ever cheaper machines.
The workstations, even PCs, could do the same calculations that the original Cray's could do. In fact, I've bought my kids' computers that have way more power than Cray computers I sold 10 years ago for millions of dollars.
Ultimately, the companies bred in Minnesota failed to adapt to the rapid fundamental changes in technology that were taking place. Cray Research eventually lost its independence. 3 years ago, Silicon Graphics of California bought the company. Control Data, for its part, got hammered by more than the microprocessor. The company lost its focus on computers, its bureaucracy resisted change, and the mid-80s brought an industry recession. By 1989, the company's five-year losses totaled nearly $1.5 billion. 3 years later, the company split in two. But the loss to Minnesota cannot be measured simply in the thousands of jobs the industry shed. The personal computer and internet revolutions took place elsewhere. Minnesota lost critical mass.
What have we got for folks in Webland today?
This website promotes one of the products of Macromedia, a leading internet company now based in San Francisco. The company began in Minnesota under the name Authorware. Founder Michael Allen says despite the company's early success here, officials worried about the depth of Minnesota's software talent.
Our advisors and board felt that it would be smartest for us, now that we appeared to be becoming mainstream software, for us to move into the mainstream of the culture, and decided that we should move to California, where they felt that the talent pool was much, much larger.
Macromedia now has more than 600 employees and is one of 50 firms in a new Fortune magazine index designed to track the growth and impact of the internet economy. None of the 50 firms is based in Minnesota. But the news is not all bleak. State job statistics suggest Minnesota's software industry has doubled in the last 5 years and is approaching the number of jobs at which the hardware industry peaked. John Riedel, co-founder of Net Perceptions, a Minnesota-bred e-commerce company gaining international attention, says his company and a few other internet-related software firms are starting to put Minnesota back on the map.
Instead of having a half dozen real shining examples of Minnesota high technology success, I'd rather us have 24 examples of that. Because once you get that sort of critical mass, you just get to where anyone who says, you're going to have to move out of Minnesota to be successful, you know, just sounds stupid. Where right now they still sometimes get away with it.
While new shoots are clearly emerging from the ashes of the mainframe computer industry, Minnesota still has much to prove before it will be known as a hotbed of the new economy. I'm Bill Catlin, Minnesota Public Radio.